is Bird Note. Brooklyn, New York City's southeastern borough, has prime spots to see birds. Prospect Park, with more than 500 acres, many of them covered in trees, fosters lots of native bird life. One denizen of Brooklyn's trees is the strikingly beautiful blue jay. Nearly a foot long, the jay is unmistakable, with vivid sky blue crest and back, fine dark cross-hatching on blue wings and tail, and a black necklace. It's a familiar sight in Brooklyn's trees. Blue jays are consummate tree dwellers. They nest, forage, and roost in the trees, even in this New York borough of over 2 million people. They travel through Brooklyn neighborhoods from branch to branch. And if you live in the eastern U.S., you can invite blue jays into even a small yard with a decent tree or two. This doesn't require a lot of square footage on the ground. It's the volume of branches and leafy habitat overhead that matter to the jays. Blue jays are especially fond of oak trees, which provide acorns and habitat for large insects, two of their favorite foods. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, SFU's community radio station, broadcasting live from Burnaby, BC.
On the next episode of Sip, Suds, and Smokes,
here's the wines we're going to be discussing today. We have the Société de la Racine Neuve Brut Sparkling Champagne 2023, the Champagne Telmont.
Not Sparkling Chardonnay.
Mm-hmm.
You said champagne. You have been drinking, Bob.
Yeah, well, I threw that in. Champagne Telmont Reserve de la Terre 2024. And from Ewers Estate, we have the Ewers Estate Sylvain Estate Blanc 23, the Ewers Estate Cabernet Franc 2022, the Ewers Estate Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon 2022, and the Ewers Estate Portrait Red Blend.
Is it Ewers or Ehlers?
I'm not exactly sure.
I always heard you say Ehlers. You guys went, right?
I think Ehlers.
I say Ehlers because I'm a redneck. So, you know, it just, everything's kind of high.
We'll be right back after this break. Almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It's Sips, Suds, and Smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sipping time.
Hey, yes, it's sipping time again. Welcome to this Sips episode where everything good in life is worth discussing.
Except Coldplay concerts.
Mm.
I'm talking about the meme. Everybody's talking about this.
Yeah, don't go back there. What are you more embarrassed about? That you got caught or that you got caught at a Coldplay concert? Yeah, I think it's the second one, honestly.
Yeah.
You know, if you got caught, like, you know, the Red Zeppelin reunion, okay, that's one thing, but a Coldplay?
Red Zeppelin? You mean Led Zeppelin?
I've been drinking.
You have been drinking,
yeah.
Sir.
Yeah, but Coldplay? Good God, no. Well, this is Made Man Bob joining me today, our good old boy Justin.
Pleasure to be here, Bob.
And good old boy Harm.
You forgot who was here, didn't you, Bob?
No, I'm waiting for him to stop crunching. He's over there waffing down chips and caviar.
Thanks for having me, Bob.
Yeah, this mental patient over here. So,
yeah.
Well, our sip segments are all about distilled spirits, tea, coffee, and anything else you can sip. And here's the wines we're going to be discussing today. We have the Société de la Race Neuve Brut Sparkling Champagne 2023. The Champagne Telmont.
Sparkling Chardonnay.
Mm-hmm.
You said champagne. You have been drinking, Bob.
Yeah, well, I threw that in. Champagne Telmont Reserve de la Terre 2024. And from Ewers Estate, we have the Ewers Estate Sylvain Estate Blanc 23, the Ewers Estate Cabernet Franc 2022, the Ewers Estate Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon 2022, and the Ewers Estate Portrait Red Blend.
Is it Ehlers or Ehlers? It's E-H-L-E-R-S. And I've always pronounced it Ehlers.
I'm not exactly sure.
But I've always heard you say Ehlers. You guys went, right?
I think Ehlers.
I say Ehlers because I'm a redneck. So, you know, it just, everything's kind of high.
But you guys were there in Napa, right?
Yes.
I believe it's actually Ehlers.
Ehlers. Yeah. Ehlers Estate. Yeah. All right. Well, whatever, dude. He's just the producer of the show.
Yeah, I don't really care.
He can't pronounce anything right now. Yeah. This is the second show we're recording today.
Yeah, we can put it in the Google.
All that really matters is what's in the glass in front of me.
And so it comes to us.
E-H-L-E-R-S.
Thank you guys for that.
Thank you guys for sending it to us.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to be tasting and discussing these wines and rating them with our sip sounds. We rate these on a 1 to 5 sip scale. So let's play one of our sounds. Pick one.
Pick number two. We're not going to hear number two this show.
Yeah, oh no, not on this
show. There's not going to be a number two. There's not going to be a one or two. Play number two.
Do a number five.
Do a number five.
No, we're not going to
hear five. We might hear that.
Yeah. We might hear a five this show, I think.
We might.
You never know. Anything's
possible. Play number two. Just do it for S and giggles.
Okay.
Well, isn't that nice?
There you go.
Two sips. There you go.
All right. So we're going to have Justin tell us about our first wine.
Société de la Race is a non-alcohol sparkling
wine.
What
did you say?
What? Non-alcohol.
This is horrible.
Yeah. It's made from...
I'm broken.
Shame.
Wait, let's give it a second. Let's try it.
It's made from 100% Chardonnay grapes grown in La Mancha, Alcázar, in San Juan, Spain.
Okay, you got my attention.
After vinification, the alcohol is removed by vacuum distillation.
Okay.
Then a small portion of grape must be reintroduced.
Add
a touch of sweetness.
Grape must.
Yeah.
Yeah, grape must.
Grape must is the pomace. Okay. Yeah. Is reintroduced.
So we're going to be reviewing Société de la Race New Brut Sparkling Chardonnay 2023. It's got a nice, light, pretty color. The nose has citrus fruits like lemon, green apples, and...
Green apples, not citrus, but all right. I'll give you that.
Reminds me of like spring water. And then the palate's refreshing and zippy. And the finish, it's surprisingly long for a non-alcohol finish. It's got like a nice sweet mid palate that goes for quite a while. What did you think, Bob?
Honestly, when I was offered this, I thought, well, it's non-alcohol sparkling wine.
Do we review non-alcoholic stuff? Why do we review coffees every now
and then? And I'm like, But... I was stunned at how good this was. It's not your traditional, it's certainly not champagne. I mean, first off, grapes are from Spain anyway. But the flavor on this is startlingly good.
It's amazingly robust. I was not expecting this.
It jumps up and grabs you by the throat and shakes you like a dog. I mean, the lime on that is insane. The lime, green apples, there's a tartness to it. There's a really nice minerality to it, kind of a dry stone to it. Really, the flavor on this thing is, they made up for it for taking the alcohol out by amping up the flavors on it. Damn, it's nice.
They made this like they made wine, not Sprite.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So look, I've been reading hearing about these de-alcoholized wines, like wines that have been, they've taken the alcohol out. They're not making something non-alcoholic. They're making something with alcohol and then removing the alcohol. Yeah. So you're getting organic compounds from the yeast. You're getting all these complex molecules that are coming out with the fermentation. So you're getting all that, but then they take the ethanol out, which has a lower boiling point. So you have vacuum distillation and you remove the ethanol. So you believe the heavier compounds. Mm-hmm. So you're getting all these wonderful organics and what do you call them? In the grapes, you get these. I can't think of the name. I'm so tired. Anyway, but you're getting all these wonderful complex organic compounds, polyphenols. That's what I'm
saying. There you go.
You know, all these polyphenols you're not going to get otherwise. You're not making something non-alcoholic. You're making a wine with alcohol, mm-hmm. with the full yeast fermentation. Everything like you make a real wine, okay?
And you're not, but you're then not you remove the introducing alcohol. Heat. It's vacuum distillation, yeah, so you're literally removing it without the benefit of heat. Yeah. So you're not cooking anything. So
and you're not, so nothing's being cross-polymerized. Everything's great. It's got a great straw color. It looks like real champagne. The mousse didn't last quite as long. There's not enough bubble.
Hmm.
But on the nose, like you said, Bob, green apples.
Mm-hmm.
And there's citrus. And there's floral notes. And there's a hint of saltiness. The salinity is great. Yeah. You get all the terroir.
Saltiness, a big minerality to it.
When I tasted Bob didn't tell me there was no alcohol in this. I didn't read the thing beforehand. It's my first time tasting one of these de-alcoholized wines.
I did it on purpose.
He's a devious.
I wanted to see his response, and he's like, "Damn, I like this." I'm like, "There's no alcohol in it."
It is a big hit, a punch in the face of lime peel.
So, would you get the hangover lime. If you drank too much or not?
No,
well, you know, hangover.
So it's the alcohol that makes the hangover.
Yeah,
the alcohol gets in your liver. It becomes converted to ethanol. Becomes converted to acetaldehyde and acetone.
Yeah, acetaldehyde. Yeah.
It's acetaldehyde, acetaldehyde. Who says acetaldehyde? It's acetaldehyde.
Acetaldehyde
and acetone. Fine. So when you have methanol, it becomes formaldehyde, formic acid. That's what makes you go blind. But anyway, it's the same liver enzymes. But anyway, the hit of lime and raspberry here was overwhelming. Mm-hmm. The finish is short. There's no alcohol here. It's not champagne. It's not real sparkling wine, but it's so good. It would have fooled me. So it's low alcohol, but it's really good. No, there's zero alcohol here. I was surprised.
Yeah.
We got a rating for this, sir?
Justin, what did you think?
We already talked about it.
Talked about it. It was good.
Right. You're drunk.
Yeah.
With the zero alcohol wine.
Well, we're going to be giving the Society de la Rossi New Brut Sparkling Chardonnay 2023, a well-deserved, and I can't believe this from alcohol freaks like us, 3 sips.
Interesting.
And we'll be back.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing. We've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right. Keep your eyes on the road, my darling. Wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows. My hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Hey, and we're back, and we were just finishing up discussing the Societe de la Rossi New Brut Sparkling Chardonnay. 3 sips on a non-alcoholized sparkling wine. Shocking.
Or de-alcoholized.
So let's go into the next one and have Harm tell us about that.
Oh, thanks, Bob. Before I go on to the next one, I want to say one thing. You guys talked me into a 3 sips on that. If I had not known there was no alcohol, I would have given it a 4.
Mm-hmm.
So do we go down because there's no alcohol, or should we give it an extra rating because they fooled me?
Oh, I'd go down because there's no alcohol. That's just me.
Yeah, that's where we went. There you go. So anyway, if there's no alcohol,
you're much less likely to go down.
Hmm. Okay, then.
In the toilet, Justin. Thank you.
Moving on.
I don't need alcohol to go down.
Moving on.
Good to know.
Our next champagne.
Why do I have to waste my time outwitting morons?
Our next Our next sip today is the Champagne Telmont. And Champagne Telmont can trace its origins back to 1912 when Henri L'Hôpital created his own champagne house under his name. And in 1937, his son André became the cellar master following the death of his father. After several years off of World War II, André returned to Champagne to develop his father's legacy and named the champagne brand de Telmont. And after the name of one of his best vineyard plots. And in 83, André's son Serge takes over the Champagne de Telmont, where he continues his father's legacy. There's a lot of history here, which I don't want to read, man. This is too long, Bob.
Skip it, that's fine.
I'm going to skip all through this. Anyway, in 2022, Leonardo DiCaprio invested in the minority shareholder and became a Telmont Champagne House shareholder. And is that important, really?
I'll still drink it, even though he's involved.
I mean, I liked Titanic, but there was room on the door.
Not so much. Yeah.
Whatever.
Moving on.
She let him die.
Yeah. There was room on the door.
There was room on the door.
You selfish woman.
So this is the Réserve de la Terre 2024 from 12. It's a 12% ABV. This is different because it's 44% Pinot Meunier. 44% Pinot Meunier, 34% Chardonnay, and 22% Pinot Noir. That's inverse to what we normally get. Normally, yeah, we get more Chardonnay with more Pinot Noir.
This Meunier is always Meunier at the end.
Meunier is usually added for backbone. Mm. So this is starting differently completely. It's aged for 36 months. It's a blend of 2020, 70%, 2019, 15%, 2018, 15%, and made with organic grapes without herbicides, pesticides, or fungicides, no synthetic fertilizers, and a low dosage. And it's extra brut cuvée, so only 2.5 grams per liter of sugar versus other brut champagnes, which is like 6 to 12. Back in the day, extra brut used to mean zero dosage, but now that's become brut nature. So extra brut is less than that six grams per liter. It's a beautiful straw color. The nose on this is all about spice. It just hits me with anise. Citrus, anise, raspberries, and notes of like pie crust. To me, this is like raspberry pie with anise. On the palate, crisp apple, lots of mineral flavors. The spice is coming out, tons of citrus. The bubbles are subtle, and there's a smoky note that I get to a lot of champagnes from the yeast that really comes out here. It's gorgeous. I love this. Justin, what do you think? You didn't like this as much as I know. I know.
The anise hit me the wrong way. I thought it was too heavy a note.
You prefer a nephew?
Apparently so.
I was sitting on that one.
That was good. That was good.
You've been holding that one for about half an hour.
Now the viscosity is pleasant, and the finish is balanced, but the palate with the anise,
you don't like the spice too much. I love the spice here, Bob. What do you think?
Well, I thought it was wonderful. We've done Champagne Telmont before. That's what I was trying to do, was look up the last time we did it.
I don't remember having Champagne Telmont, but not the Reserve.
No, I don't think we did the Reserve. I think we did. I'd have to look.
Don't, dude, we're in the middle of a show. Don't Google stuff.
We did the Reserve Brut back in 2022. So
this was a Reserve then.
Yeah, but
this is extra brut. Extra brut. Mm. De la Terre.
I love the nose on it. The citrus and the anise on there is really nice. Like you said, there's like a pastry short crust.
Yeah.
Kind of like a...
It's a raspberry or some sort of mixed berry pie for me. But the spice is in the forefront, which turns Justin off because he's a white boy who can't take spices.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. Mm.
But
on the palate...
I love this.
Mm. Mm. There's that green apple note. There's a nice minerality to it. There's a nice salinity to it. The salinity really gets you back in the jowls, awesome, in the back palate. There is a slight, just the slight little bit of smokiness to it as well. But very, very bright, very energetic, very in your face, you know, very lively kind of champagne.
Yeah. There's a great tasting note I love what some of the other reviewers talk about. They talk about a tension. This wine has that tension.
Yeah. Oh, 100% tension. Yeah. Beautiful. Really, really pretty wine. I enjoyed this a lot.
And you guys, we've downplayed the review, the points on this review because of Justin.
Okay.
And not liking a niece. It's all about a nephew.
It's all about Justin.
Sexist.
Yeah. Like a nephew better, I guess.
100%. I don't know where you go with that. Okay. So we're going to be giving the Champagne Telmont Reserve de la Terre 2024 a well-deserved 4 sips.
It deserves higher.
I think it's lovely, really. I mean,
but you know what? Fantastic. I have to say thank you to Justin because he brought caviar today.
Yeah.
And what we're doing, instead of doing Blini, we're doing the Cape Cod salt and pepper chips, creme fraiche, and the caviar.
Fresh caviar.
You want the creme fraiche on the caviar, I mean, on the chip, to put the, to stick the caviar on there. The pairing is perfect. And so I will forgive you for not liking anise. Yeah.
Nothing better than caviar and sparkling wine.
They pay for the caviar.
All right. Well, let's move on to our next one. So Eulers Estate is an organically farmed 42-acre vineyard located in just north of St. Helena at the base of the Mayacamas Mountains. The original stone winery building dating back to 1886 was built of tuff and basalt by Bernard Eulers, a Sacramento grocer who made his fortune selling tools to miners that had traveled to California in search of gold. In 1885, he relocated his family to Napa Valley and established...
I didn't make the joke about miners.
Yeah.
I thought I could have waited for them to grow up.
I didn't think about it.
I thought about it, too.
So he relocated to Napa Valley and established his winery on Eller's Lane after buying the property from a viticulturist who'd lost his vines to phylloxera. He replanted the vineyard along with olive trees that continue to bear fruit today. We've been there. We've seen the olive grove right next to the winery. Very, very cool.
The black olive notes here.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic. So after passing in 1901, his wife, Ann Eulers, continued to make wine in the stone building. After Prohibition and a series of differing owners, Jean and Sylvain Leduc purchased some blocks of the vineyard in 1987. And we'll be back.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love, our eyes ahead on these back roads with a
Hey, and we're back, and we were just talking about the wine from Eulers Estate.
I remember where you left off.
So Bernard's wife, Ann Eulers, continued making wine in the stone building. After Prohibition and a series of differing owners, Jean and Sylvain Leduc purchased some blocks of the vineyard in 1987, aiming to create a winemaking legacy like the old great Chateau of Bordeaux.
Dobo arigato, Mr. Robato.
In 2001, they acquired the surrounding acres and the historic stone building to create the estate and restore the Eulers name. Today, the Eulers estate is owned by the Leduc Charitable Trust and was established by them in 1996. Here's the amazing thing about this winery. These folks came in and paid, you know what it cost,
right? Millions and millions.
An acre of land in that valley. Assembled all this, rebuilt this winery, and then turned around and put it into a charitable trust so it can raise money for charity. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's awesome. I mean, forget the wine. It's like you put all that money
together.
I'm
thinking about the tax deduction. I'm leery of you billionaires, man.
I don't know why you're looking at me.
I'm not looking at you, per se.
Yeah, that ain't happening.
I'm just looking in your general direction. Whatever.
So let's move on to their first one, which is...
Let's forget about the charitable trust. Let's have a
problem. Oh, no. Again, do a lot of really great charitable work. Yeah, so that's awesome.
I agree.
I agree. I mean, I spent a lot of time working for a charity.
You raise a lot of money for charity. Yeah. I help you, too, when I can.
So the Ellers Estate, Sylvania Estate Blanc 2023. This is 13.9% ABV, Napa Valley, 80% Sauvignon Blanc, 13% Sémillon. Fermentation 50% concrete egg,
which I freaking love. Not enough people doing concrete egg.
Every winery we go to in Napa, there's always a couple of them in the back.
Yeah,
they're hardly ever used.
There's a guy who like invented these. I'm in my head, I'm thinking who went around Napa and went, "Hey, I got these," and everybody went, "Okay, I'll buy two or three and put them in the back." Everybody's got a couple, but nobody seems to be committing to them full time or anything.
There are a bunch of wineries in Europe that are using concrete egg that are doing amazing things.
Yeah. So
and I'm glad Napa's experimenting too.
50% concrete egg, 40% neutral, and 10% new French oak, aged 14 months in 10% new French oak. So
gorgeous.
Let's get here to the. Oh, the nose is leaping out of the glass. White flowers.
That's so amazing.
Green tea. There's a minerality to it that just leaps out of the glass. A minerality, a salinity to it. Definitely a salinity. And on the palate, let's see. Very mineral up front. But there's a fruitiness there. There's big time citrus. A little bit of lime. A little bit of lemon zest. There's a little bit of white pear and a little bit of green apple behind it. Wow. That lemon and lime just carries through. Really nice finish. Really long finish. This is fantastic. What did you think, Harm?
I agree with you, Bob. This is gorgeous. The citrus was there, but what really hit me was the green tea note and the saltiness, the salinity.
Yeah.
Salinity is gorgeous. Like it's like you're on the ocean. You're out, you're
sea on spray.
The deck, you're on the deck of a ship and fresh sea air is hitting your nose. That oyster shell, that the jasmine green tea is a different thing, but you get that oyster shell, you're getting that sea salt, you get that green tea. And there's a hint of lemon blossom in the background. So it's all there. And on the palate, it's just unfolds with this gorgeous fruit and pear. You said pear, right, Bob?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pear. Come back to it. Pear. Pear and lemon zest. Tons of seawater, like saltiness. Just gorgeous. And the finish is long. I cannot believe this is a California Sauvignon Blanc.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, there's what, only 10% oak on this one?
Mm-hmm. I think 10%
new. 10%
new.
I usually hate, disdain. I usually disdain California Sauvignon Blanc where they use too much oak. These guys hit the right balance.
Yeah.
The absolute right balance. I prefer stainless steel aged Sauvignon Blanc. I want to taste the mineral. I don't want to taste the oak at all. The oak is such a great balance here. It just blows me away.
I like the stainless steel, but I also like the oak. When it's 100% stainless steel, you get more of that asparagus-y kind of herbal.
That depends on where it's grown.
Yeah, but you get more of that. When I get the oak, that downplays, but usually when you get the oak,
mellow, great,
you don't get the minerality and the salinity that we're getting. So
no, this is a great balance.
Yeah, this is
perfectly
fantastic.
Balanced.
Yeah. What do you think, Justin?
Yeah.
This reminds me of being a teenager eating at a seafood restaurant on the pier in San Francisco. Crisp, clean nose, amazing seafood, fruit. It's like a seafood restaurant next to a fruit market. And then the palate, it's crisp.